Praise the Lord. Always try to be thankful. Thank God for this time of year where we focus on that. Amen. And, tonight, we're going to have a thankful service, thankfulness. And also, with that, we're going to burn our mortgage. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen, I am. But we had an old mortgage on here for approximately 15 years, and we are no longer have a mortgage, so we're burning the papers to show how happy, excited we are. Amen? All right, if you'll turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 100, Psalms 100, we're going to read verse 4. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. And I like this. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Amen. Lord, we love you, and we're so thankful, God, that we can be here today to worship and praise you. We're so thankful for the body of Christ, Lord, that we are part of. And we just ask, God, that you just bless each one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Also, there are several families out. Brother Herbert Perry is retiring, and they're having a special service for him there today. And there are some of those that are related to him and know him, and they're there attending with them. So just pray for them, and God will bless them. Amen. Brother Herbert Perry is a good man, and we're so glad to see God working in his life and his family. I want to talk to you today about thankfulness. Thankfulness. Have you ever heard the phrase, no good deed goes unpunished? You ever heard that? My mother-in-law says that a lot. Sadly, this is too often a true statement. And the reason that this is too often a true statement is because those who the good deed is bestowed upon many times are unthankful. Isn't that frustrating? That sometimes people don't show that they appreciate what you do for them. And there's a powerfulness about thankfulness. And it encourages people to sometimes want to do good to others. And when you too often you feel that unthankfulness, it just says, why do I try? Because a lot of times being thankful is a sacrifice. You know, you bless somebody with, say, money, or you go buy groceries, or you go take your time and maybe mow the yard, or whatever it may be. It's cost you something, usually, to be thankful. And so when somebody who you bless, they don't show that thankfulness, you're like, you little snot. Come on, let's just be honest here. Huh? Luke chapter 17. And this is what I want to base my message off this morning. Luke 17, 11 through 19. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You see, there is a prevailing spirit in our world of thanklessness. Come on. It's prevailing. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, are not those that work and you work with people, they expect a Christmas bonus. It's expected, isn't it? And if it's not given, oh my goodness. The locker room or the lunchroom is all this grumbling, right? Christmas bonuses are expected instead of appreciated. Companies have to give perks such as employee of the month, special parking places, special days, achievement awards, awards of excellence, and above and beyond recognition just to have people do their jobs. We live in a day and age of thanklessness. Whatever happened, folks, to being thankful for a place to work, a company that even would give you a paycheck? Those days are gone. You see, if we are not careful, the same spirit can creep into the church. Well, pastor didn't say thank you for doing this or doing that, or pastor didn't do this, or this Sunday school superintendent didn't say this and bless me with that. It can creep in. You see, we should not base our relationship with God on what he can do for us. Now, we were singing that part, "All I Need Is You." And I was wondering that, and I was going to ask this question. What if it's all you have left is God? What if everything was taken from you like Job had taken from him? And all you had left is God. Our relationship should not be based on what he can do for us, but what he has already done for us. Amen? Let me read this to you. If one should give me a dish of sand and tell me there was particles of iron in it, I might look for them with my clumsy fingers and be unable to detect them. But let me take a magnet and sweep through it, and it would draw to itself the most invisible particles. The unthankful heart, like my finger in the sand, discovers no mercies. But let the thankful heart sweep through the day, and as the magnet finds the iron, so it will find some heavy, heavenly blessings. Folks, the power of being thankful opens the door of God's greatness. Yes, it does. Now, the Bible deals with the spirit and the action of thankfulness. 73 occurrences of thanks in the Bible. 3 occurrences of thankful. 28 occurrences of thanksgiving. And 1 occurrence of thankfulness. You see, before we walk, or before we talk about the power of thankfulness, I want to look at the power of being unthankful. The power of being unthankful. Now, that's something to be said, isn't it? The power of being unthankful. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, verse through 21, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." When you read in verse 18, it speaks of those who suppress or hinder the truth by unrighteousness. You see, folks, it does matter how we live. Amen? It really does matter how we live. And how can we live, how we live dictates our witness. We can either magnify the truth or we can suppress it by our lives and by our words. Verse 19 tells us that who hinders the truth in their unrighteousness have the potential to know all there is to know about God because God has shown them. God will use his word. God will use a preacher. God will use a saint. God will use nature or anything that he wants to help people know about him. Verse 20 tells us how God uses creation. He uses creation itself to show us his power, to show us his Godhead. The complexity of nature alone teaches us about God. There's only one God who created all things. If there was a committee of three or more, it would never have been done. Amen? Verse 21 shows us there are those who know God, but don't glorify God as God. You see, it is possible. It is possible to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And it is possible to receive the Holy Ghost and still not allow God to be God in our lives. Come on. You see, we need to glorify him as God. We need to. And not as a way of covering all the bases or a crutch or a way of escape. He is, folks, he is the supreme. He is the eternal ruler of heaven and of earth. There is no greater than him. Amen? There is none. When you read in verse 21, it further states people's unthankfulness. What it does, it causes them to become vain in their imaginations. They literally become empty. You see, there is a drastic difference between being full of the Holy Ghost and being empty of the Holy Ghost. Full of God's blessings and empty of God's blessings. Full of his mercies and empty of his mercies. There's a drastic difference in this. And finally, this verse ends with how an unthankful heart, that heart becomes foolish. An empty heart becomes darkened. In other words, it is deprived of light. He is our light, isn't it? There are those who are unthankful for the revelation of the oneness of God, Jesus' name, baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. There are people who are unthankful for that revelation. You see, that unthankfulness is a manifestation of a lack of love of the truth. You have to love the truth. There are people today who don't really love the truth. You see, well, what do you mean? Well, when you look at people who hear and see politicians who lie, I don't know about you, but I can't stand lying. Amen? And so there are people who don't love the truth. It's whatever benefits them is what they want. We need to have a love for the truth. So we need to have a thankfulness, because unthankfulness is a manifestation of a lack of love and truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 10 and 12 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see, the power of unthankfulness is God's wrath. When you look in Romans 1, unthankfulness. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Paul here is writing to his son of the gospel, Timothy. In chapter 3, Paul warns Timothy that in the last days there would come a spirit into the world and would cause much trouble for the church. In verse 2, he tells Timothy that among the lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unholy, would be people who are unthankful. Now, you may never expect that one or that unthankful person or unthankful people would receive such a harsh judgment. Is being unthankful really a bad thing? Why put it right before unholy when you read in this verse? Follow peace. In Hebrews 12:14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness. Without such no man shall see the Lord." So when you read it there in verse 2 of 2 Timothy 3:2, it says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." It's before unholy. So when you look in Hebrews 12:14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without such no man shall see the Lord." It's a bad thing to be unthankful. So if a lack of holiness would keep one from seeing the Lord, what would be the result of being unthankful? One thing is true in every circle, and that is not everyone appreciates what you do for them. Come on. No matter how hard you try to please some people, they are never going to be completely appreciated what you have done, or at least the effort you have put into something. There are some people in this world, and even in the church, who are simply unthankful people. I've heard people pray for food. It's different. It's kind of something to hear how people pray. But you ever hear somebody say, "For these gifts, we ask that you make us truly thankful." You ever heard that? "For these gifts, we ask that you make us truly thankful." If only they knew what they were saying when they say that. Being thankful is not a natural state of mind for most people. "Lord, make me truly thankful." Being thankful comes from knowing want. It comes from not having. Come on. You know, I had this where I would never leave anything on the plate because I know sometimes what it's not to have stuff on there. I've seen my mom and dad point out the fact that those groceries that were brought to us by somebody were a blessing of God. And so nowadays I have this issue sometimes with, I can't hardly eat bread anymore, and I can't stand the fact that I peel the crust off of bread. I can't eat it. I just can't eat it. It makes me so mad because I used to get so mad at everybody else who would do that. But I try to be thankful. Thankfulness comes from not having. A woman will be thankful for a husband she has when she understands what it means not to have a good husband. A man will be thankful for a job that he has when he has gone through a long period of time where he had no job. Being broke teaches you how to be thankful, doesn't it? Being sick teaches you how to be thankful for painless days. Near-death sickness teaches you how to be thankful for each and every day you have. Being lonely will teach you how to be thankful for someone who goes out of their way to be your friend. Thankful people are usually people who have been down the road of adversity. You see, they are people who know what it means to struggle. They are people who have not had the world handed to them on a silver platter. They worked hard to get where they're at. They endure much expense and labor to reach a certain place in life. They did all they could when that failed, they prayed to Jesus before the help came. So they know where their help comes from. And it frustrates the fire out of me when people are jealous of people. Jealousy is an ugly thing. Not everybody that is successful had it handed to them. Come on. Listen, I've worked for snobs whose daddy's rich. I've worked for them. It's not fun to work with. But folks, not everybody who has made something of themselves had it handed to them. In the day and age we live into, this day and age of unthankfulness, it is taught that people who have or who are well off don't deserve it and they should give it to others. That's garbage. And probably be known, they probably give more than anybody ever dreamed of them giving. So when they did all that they could and maybe failed at several attempts of things, maybe they prayed to the Lord for help, and they know where it comes from. You see, the Bible sets unthankful people apart from thankful people. The Bible lets us know that to be unthankful is a sin, a grievous sin, as it should be. So when some people or when someone does something for you, the response of your heart and the response of your lips should be, thank you. Amen. Whether it is God, your next door neighbor, someone in the church, or even a complete stranger. When someone gives you something that belongs to them, whether it is time, whether it is money, whether it is prayer, whether it is love, the response should be thankful. I was riding with my brother in the Tonka truck back here on the east side the other day. Some lady came out into the middle of the street, and we stopped at a stop sign and actually leaned on the truck so that you couldn't pull away. Please help me, please, oh, please. I mean, she was going at it, folks. I had nothing. My brother reached in, grabbed a couple bucks, handed it to her. She didn't even say thank you. Walked away, didn't say thank you or anything. People don't care. They're not thankful at all. I talked to the gentleman that was here Wednesday night that walked in the back right after church. He told me that he panhandles churches. But he wasn't going to panhandle this one because this is a poor church. I guess it's the neighborhood. I don't know. But we live in a society, so it's ugly. It really is ugly. And our hearts should always be directed to the Lord. In Ephesians 5, verse 20 says, "And giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks always. Everything. Every good day, every pay raise, every good doctor report, every help, every encouragement, every big and every little thing that encourages and blesses our life, we should be thankful to God for. Everything. Everything. Without that thankfulness, Folks, we are almost assuredly hinder the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's going to hinder us. I'm going to read Luke 17, 12 through 19 again. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, which he saw that was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." What an amazing miracle here. What an amazing testimony. Leprosy in that day was thought to be disease that came from extreme filth. Leprous people were not even allowed to walk on the same side of the street as everybody else. And when they walked into towns or when they walked around people, they had to holler out, "Unclean! Unclean!" What a stigma. Nowadays, they'd be marching in Washington, D.C., and were treated unfairly. But that's what they had to do then. Can you imagine the social stigma that these 10 men faced every day of their lives? Every day. Folks, they were unable to even be around their family. They had to watch their children grow up from a distance. They lived in colonies of the other leprous people. They were surrounded every day with the sickness of others and the stench of their own diseases. So these 10 men, they cry out to Jesus for their healing. And the Bible says that he healed them. But of those 10 men who were healed, only one was truly thankful. You see, this one man, he wasn't in a hurry to go show himself to the priest. He wasn't in a hurry to go show himself so that he could be admitted back into society and back into his family. I want you to look with me at what he did. Let's look at Luke chapter 17, verse 15 and 16. He says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." So while the 9 unthankful men went out of their way, this one man falls on his face at the feet of Jesus. And when he's down there, he cries out with a loud voice of thanksgiving, and he glorifies God. You see, Jesus noticed a very distinct difference between this man and the other 9. In Luke 17, 17 through 19 says, "And Jesus answered, said, where are there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee." Jesus asked the question, "Where are the other 9? 10 were cleansed. But only one was thankful. What happened to the other nine? You see, Jesus made mention of the fact that some people appreciate when something good is done to them and some don't. Some people are thankful and other people aren't. In fact, the percentage of thankful people in this account of Jesus' ministry is very alarming to you. If you look at it, folks, 90% of the people in this particular miracle were unthankful. When you look at it like that, that's pretty astounding, isn't it? You know, we've probably read that hundreds of times in our lives, if you read the Word of God. And when you look at it as percentages, wow. So really, if you look at that, in the time of Jesus, it ain't much different than it is today. Because probably, and it may be less than today, I don't know, but 10% of the people are thankful and others aren't. It's pretty astounding. But praise God for the 10%. Amen? Thank God for the few that come back and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So if it weren't for them, if it ain't weren't for the 10%, I wonder what would happen. I wonder, folks, if it wasn't for the 10%, if churches and pastors and good people and even the Lord himself would continue doing good to others, if it weren't for the few that come back and say, thank you. Right? If you've done things for people and they never told you thank you, would you continue doing things for people? Now, we would like to say, well, I'm a good Christian, and yeah, I would try. But it would be hard. I mean, if you did it, you're just saying, okay, God, your word tells me to do it. I don't want to. Come on. Would Jesus even do it? If it weren't for those that come back and say thank you. See, every now and then, someone says, I really appreciate your help. You have no idea how much your help means to me right now. Come on. Thankful people. What a blessing they are. Look at what Jesus did for thankful man that he didn't do for the other nine. Let's look at what Jesus did for this man. He blessed this one man, not the other nine, who scurried off in a hurry to get their lives going again. But this one man went back in Luke 17, 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. The man was expressing thankfulness, but Jesus accounted it to him for faith. That's powerful. He showed the faith before when he was with the other men and he asked the Lord to do something. But he goes back and he's showing thankfulness, and the Lord says, thy faith has made thee whole. People say all the time, give me, Lord, give me more faith. Maybe what we should really say is, Lord, help me to be more thankful. Maybe we should say, thank you, Jesus. Maybe we should just be more thankful. Leprosy causes the flesh to die off on its victims' bodies. Think about that. And literally, folks, the fingers and the toes and other extremes, they all fall off. And they lose the ability to feel pain, which causes them to do great harm to their bodies without even knowing it is. They don't even realize sometimes what they're doing to themselves because they don't feel. Many of the time, they don't even know. You see, there's a difference between being healed of leprosy and being whole as the thankful man was. Many Bible scholars believe that the original nine men, they believe they went away healed of leprosy. But they were still carrying the scars of their sickness and its devastation on their bodies. On the other hand, the thankful man left that day not only healed of the terrible diseases, but he was also made whole. In other words, you see, the Lord restored what the sickness stole from the man. Has God restored to you what the world has and sin has stole from you? I believe God does that to thankful people. It's not that I'm not happy that God saved me. But I'm thankful. And I want God to know every day, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for the blessings in my life. Thank you, God, for a great church and pastor. And we can go on down the list, folks. Thank you, God. Because, see, I not only want to be saved, I want to be made whole. In other words, the Lord restored what that sickness stole from him. You see, this could mean even more than his body being restored to its original state. But it also, his relationship with other people like his family and even his place of status in the community. You see, when you become a leper, all that is taken away from you. Everything that you know, whatever state of society you were in, when we read of the Samaritan soldier who had, what was his name, Naaman, who had leprosy. Probably eventually he would have been put out if it wasn't for his healing. You see, we have to be not only thankful for God's saving us, but we need to return to him daily and say, thank you, God, for your blessings in my life. Thank you, God, for saving me. How do I thank you? We need to continually live in that state of thankfulness. However you look at it, folks, Jesus did something more for the thankful man than he did for the unthankful. Jonah ran from God. He was swallowed by a great fish. But let's look at Jonah's prayer. Let's turn to Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my afflictions unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me around about, and the weeds wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Look at this. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Now I want you to see something here. As soon as Jonah mentioned sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving, regardless, folks, of how bad a problem he was in, he was delivered from his torment. The power of thankfulness brings deliverance to us. You need deliverance today. Whatever situation you find yourself in, be thankful. Here is why our worship is so important. Because it is showing our thankfulness for his love for us and what he has done in our lives. It brings into our lives that reward the Bible talks about, folks. The extra blessing. The added bonuses, amen? The things that not everybody else gets. So why don't you think about what you have to be thankful for today? Why not make a list of the things that the Lord has brought you through and tell him one more time, thank you, God. Why not lift our hands and yield ourselves to him with thanksgiving this day? Because it blesses. I don't know about you, but I like blessings and I'll take the extra blessings. Amen? I like bonuses and I'll take the added ones. Amen? Hallelujah. I like the things that not everybody else gets. You know what, folks? I may not have the fanciest house or the fanciest car, but I consider myself a very, very blessed man. I have an awesome wife, awesome children, and I pastor an awesome church. You can't be much blessed, more blessed than that. Come on. I don't need all that other stuff. It's good if God gives it to me. That's the added blessings. I'll take it if he gives it to me. But there's one thing that I've learned. A lot of times, the more things you own, it owns you. Come on. Amen. Let's stand here today. So today, while you're thinking, if you want to think today, you might close your eyes and I'll think when I get up. I don't know. Just think about this year, what God has done for you. How he's blessed you this year, where he's brought you this year. And let's come tonight and let's have a thankful service. Amen? Amen. God is so good to us, folks. He's so good. And I'm glad that he saved me. But every day I want to go back to him and say thank you for your salvation. Thank you. Lord, we love you. God, we appreciate you. I ask you, Lord, to bless each one here today. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be thankful for all that you've done for us. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Hold on, here's an announcement.